Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, what an absolute treat today. We have a LinkedIn celebrity. This is exciting. Michael Klemmer is here, founder of Area Resupply Coffee. Mike, thank you so much for being on the Got Your Six podcast, my man.
Man, thanks for having me. This is awesome. I like being called a LinkedIn celebrity. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Content creator, influencer.
No. Not influencer.
Not influencer.
I'll go with content creator. I'll go with that.
Absolutely. So within a year, let's just review what you've been able to do. So you started Area Resupply Coffee, which is a premium small batch roasted coffee, roasted here in America, which is slightly uncommon. Where are you now? Oh, just a little bit over a year later.
Well, so from when I started the company, which was just me, myself, and me, like there's nobody else. And it was really just can I even get this thing off the ground? You know, almost a year and a half later, because we're coming up on the calendar year changing, and that's about the 18-month mark from my business. High five figures, almost six figures, getting ready to start looking at hiring some people and figuring out how to really put some weight behind it and some capital and accelerate.
And as you've done that, right, I know I've kind of seen this, but you haven't really focused so much on the outcome, but more of like building the system. Like if you have a problem, you're going to go out there and do the research on like how to build a website, how to LLC. Where does that come from? Is that something you've always had inside of you, or is that something you kind of like built up to as you've kind of grown the company?
Well, I go back to my military career, right? So when I first became an officer, my very first job as a quartermaster officer was to be the battalion S4 for the 4th Brigade Sustainment Battalion out at Fort Carson for 4th ID, right? 1st Brigade, 4th ID. And my boss at the time was like, I don't care what else you do, you have to build a system. If you want to be graded the way, I don't care what you accomplish, build systems that endure without you. And so I've taken that throughout my career, but what I've really believed in building this is that I have to build the house or the foundation for my business first, regardless of whether or not it's me or whether it's 50 people or 100 people, right? So like everything I've done has been in anticipation of scaling my company. So like if it's not all right in the areas that it needs to be, it's going to be harder to scale. So I probably did it the wrong way. I don't know if I've done it the wrong way, but I did it in a way that I don't think most people would do. I think most people would go out and just try to get as much money as possible and then fight fires as they come up. And I've taken a different approach where it's like, how do you build it? And then when everything comes in, nothing breaks because the systems are already there.
And the other thing that you've done too is you've built this in public. Like you share and constantly crowdsource information to make it better as you go through it. You're constantly either putting out some sort of poll, soliciting information, or at least just providing like, hey, this is kind of rough. Does anyone else go through this, or is it just me? And I feel like that people resonate with that so much because they see themselves when you're creating that more or less that content, but you're having that conversation with the audience.
So I made a promise to myself when I started this was that I was going to build this in public. I was not going to do this in the dark. And that I would be open and honest about successes and failures for a lot of reasons. Number one, there's a ton of smart people out there that all want to help. Like I'm one of them, right? When people come to me and they're like, hey, Mike, how do you do this? I'm like, well, this is what I did. And I've had a bazillion conversations about that. For me, it's, I want to be like, I don't want this just to be about like, what has Mike done? Like at the end of the day, like I want it to be like, what is Area Resupply Coffee? Like, what does it stand for? What does the company stand for? What's the mission stand for? And the more people that understand where I'm coming from at the beginning, the more that will resonate. And it has resonated. So I would never do it any other way. If I started another company, I'm going to build it in public.
where did you get the idea to build in public? Because usually people have an idea, right? They're like, I need to get an NDA and have everyone, whoever even smells this idea, they have to sign it. But instead you're going reverse. You're going the opposite and saying, no, all this is open source.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, operational security for, you know, anything in the military. We're talking about, I mean, this is a coffee company. It's just like any other, small business. It's just the difference is that it's just me. And because I don't know, like, I don't know what I don't know. I mean, like there's a lot of things that I still don't have a clue about what I'm doing. And I'd rather just say, I don't know, and have somebody help me or be upfront about it and just say, beats me, but I'm going to figure it out. And so that for me is like why I build in public in the first place is because, and coincidentally, I chose LinkedIn as the platform to build in public because the people on LinkedIn, for the most part, are people who are either decision makers or they're people who are going through the same thing where they're building their own businesses. So we all get to talk together. It's like, hey, how did you do this? What did you do here? Why is this working for you? And so we all pick up on each other's tricks and it just helps everybody.
What's a recent example of where you've said, like, I don't know, and you reached out to someone and you said, I have no clue how to do this?
Well, so SEO is something that is like, I'm horrid with SEO, right?
Explain what SEO is.
Okay. So SEO is search engine optimization. So like, let's say you wanted to start a website and you want, and you're like, I want to be the best, you know, Hot Wheels car seller that, you know, company out there. Right. And so you start a website and you build it and you call it My Hot Wheels Car or whatever it is. If you don't start search engine optimization and do all the background of like tags and how Google represents it and how your site is mapped, you're never going to show up on Google, which means it's going to be harder and harder and harder to find you. I had no idea about any of that, like none. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like it's like when you Google something and all of a sudden you look on page one and there's 15 different things, every single one of those, if it's not an ad, every single one of those is because they've paid a lot of money for search engine optimization. I don't know how to do it. So I talk on LinkedIn all the time, or I talk on Twitter or Instagram or any one of these other places that I have friends who are willing to help and just point blank ask, like, how do I do this? What do I do here so that I can better my brand? And everybody is very helpful. I mean, that's why I think just asking leads to conversations and leads to friends and leads to your building your network. And then ultimately everybody gets better.
Do you remember the first time that, not just with the business, but in your life, where you learned that lesson of being able to be, we'll say vulnerable, where you said, I have to be able to ask for help here in order to get through it?
Well, so that was probably my first year and a half of being an officer. So like I was a non-commissioned officer before I commissioned, right? So I was Mustangs, right? So yep. When I was an NCO, I was young. I thought I knew everything, became an officer very quickly. Was like, no, I don't know anything about what I'm doing here. I mean, I know what they taught me, but I don't know what I'm doing. And I got humbled very quickly, like very quickly. And so I approached, you know, after being a lieutenant, being a junior captain, as I don't know what I don't know. I'm not scared to admit that I don't know it. And if I need to know it, then I'm going to go ask somebody to help me. And so that really put me in a different mindset to be able to say, okay, this is how I'm going to get ahead. And this is not only it's a win-win, right? Because, you know, on one hand, you're admitting you don't know something and you're relying on somebody else's expertise, but you're also building that trust relationship between you and whoever you asked. Because if you ask that person, basically, because if you ask that person for help and they realize you need it, the next time they come to you for help and you tell them something, they're going to believe you. Or if the two of you were at odds, like me and my first sergeant were at odds a lot of times, but there's a lot of times that I would say to him, you know, okay, I don't know, you tell me. And he would, and he'd teach me everything I needed to know as a commander, or, you know, when I did it. But then there was times that he would come to me and we would disagree. And I would say, no, this is the way it needs to be. But he would trust me, because we had that back and forth.
And being able to have, right, trust builds communication and communication builds trust. Being able to have that level of discord takes time, right? Where you can kind of go back and forth like, oh, this is how I'm doing. Well, I would really do it this way. And you have to kind of play it. And then obviously you make your decision to move forward. But as you continue to form and build these relationships, you're able to have those much deeper conversations, which open up other opportunities or experiences that you might not have been able to tap into. And I think is really, really key that you touched on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there's one thing I think we've all learned. Well, I hope people learn, but the thing I've learned is that, you know, relationships matter, and how you treat people and how you not just empathize, but how you respect other people's opinions, whether you agree with it or not, breeds trust between two people. And then it makes it's just a multiplier that helps you throughout life, throughout business, throughout your career, whatever you want to do.
Sam Meek from Sandbox talked about a few episodes ago where he's looking at people that aren't 6 years, 10 years, a year. They're like 2 weeks in front of where they want to go. Who are you looking to that's about 2 weeks in front of you, or other people maybe outside of the coffee space where you're like, all right, I kind of see what they're doing and I'm learning from them as I go, as I continue to build in public?
You know, I don't know if I have anybody that I'm doing that with, to be honest, like not within the near term in that regard. I think what I've really looked at is I've kind of torn down the journey of what Black Rifle did. Quite honestly, I don't really care what they've done since they've gone public, because they're a different company now that they've gone public than they were than when they were small veteran, you know, just a small private equity or privately held company, right? Because they're two different entities now. But what I did was I've torn down year by year kind of how they grew and what they did, what their important things were. So I'm really looking at what was their year two? What did they do in year two that accelerated them vice what I'm doing? And, you know, it's a different model because, you know, they had a little bit more horsepower behind it than I do at the present moment, but the steps are still there, right? That's what I look at, is how do I focus on, like, I'm not trying to compare myself, but at the same time, I'm looking at the blueprint. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Worthy rivals, not direct competition, of understanding and studying the game, right? Because you can't, you can't play the game if you don't know the rules of which others have played the game before you.
Well, you know, and so what I'm really interested in is selfishly, I'm waiting for Amazon to figure out how to do drone delivery, because then all of a sudden it becomes like, okay, that fits directly into my brand. Number one is drone delivery. And then number two, like I'm already on Amazon, then it becomes fulfillment by Amazon, and then it becomes aerial resupply coffee being delivered by Amazon. So like it all works together. Like I don't necessarily need to have my own infrastructure for drones, although that'd be cool.
You do have a delivery drone.
Well, I have my own drone. It's not big. It's a small one. It's only, you know, probably about a foot that I got for Father's Day. And I've been playing with it with my daughter and, you know, just trying to learn the camera and how to fly it and everything else. And I pulled out some 550 cord and used some of the paracord to be able to kind of try to make like a hook and, you know, try to figure out how to make it actually work. And I can get it to work, but man, those things are expensive, and the technology behind is incredible.
Speaking of technology, what outside of the coffee industry are you, besides Amazon and their drone fulfillment, what are you watching and kind of studying to see like, hey, I think we can incorporate this into the brand, or this makes sense to kind of go this way while still remaining true to your, you know, foundation?
Like new technology, I really, you know, that's a hard one. I don't know if I'm up to date on all the real cutting edge stuff. I think, so like I look at, maybe it's not new, but it's kind of a space that I'm looking to enter, which is, you know, aerial delivery is all about parachutes. I really like the wing gliding scene, even though I'm like completely, like you'll never see me jump out of an aircraft or like parachute myself, because I mean, I know what my brand is, I got it, but that's not who I am. But the wing gliding scene, like what Red Bull does, or what, you know, you see the guys jump out of aircraft and then they like shoot down these mountains and do races and everything. That's cool. That's a niche that I think that I'm always keeping my eye on.
And there's a ton of veterans in that space too, which is really, really cool to be able to have that connection.
Yeah. And you know, that's something that, you know, I'm always looking to get in on. I think technology wise, you know, I'd love to at some point, you know, I don't know if an aerial resupply app is what's viable, but like, I think, okay. So now that I'm thinking through this a little bit more, I'm gonna throw you a curveball. So one of the things that I've always said is that, you know, the army does a really poor job of really teaching the logistics side of the army. they just make you do it, right? They don't really teach it and give you the background behind it. And they just, everybody's expected to be the last, you know, UPS tactical mile bus driver, and that's all they care about. But I've always thought that it'd be cool if, like, you know, hey, all these Call of Duty games come out, but why isn't there games like, you know, like Civilization VI or any one of these other games, even the old school, I'm gonna go way back to like Panzer General.
Oh, I was gonna say Oregon Trail.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't there games that focus on that? So like in some ways, that's kind of where I'd love to be able to explore a space, which is, you know, how does aerial delivery work? Why does it work? But then also, how do you teach logistics within either a simulation or a game? And maybe that's something that would, you know, bridge me into a different market. Let's put it that way.
Where, as you kind of look at the map now, and we've kind of talked about where you expand outward, where do you find time, or how do you continue to give yourself credit for the work that's been done?
So I do it in a couple different ways. Mainly what I do is I like to journal. This is going to sound silly, but I actually do most of my journaling on LinkedIn because it dual hats two different things for me. Number one, it lets me communicate and constantly, you know, give people updates as to what I'm doing. But number two, you can aggregate all of that. You can pull every post you've ever done off of LinkedIn and you can, you know, put it together and you can see the history of what you've done from where you started. So the day I launched my company was August 15th, 2021. Like that was the day it went public. That wasn't the day that I started it, but it was the day that it, very first day. And I didn't tell anybody, like not a single, like my wife knew, but like nobody else in my family, friends, like nobody knew what I was doing. And then just one day I said, hey, I got coffee. And people were like, wow, you just started something out of the blue. And I had friends of mine who were entrepreneurs and startup people who all came to me and said, you know, you should have done pre-sales. You should have been doing, you know, all this marketing stuff. You should have been letting people know. Da, da, da. And I was like, look, I don't want to do that. That's not how I want it to be. My first month I did, I think I did like $100 worth of coffee. Like that's nothing. But you know what though? I sold something. Like out of thin air was like a month prior, it wasn't anything. And then a month later, somebody decided to buy a bag of Firewatch because I was like, well, this is what I'm doing and I'm going to give it a shot. And if the whole thing folds, you know, a month, a year from now, I don't think it will, but if it does, let's say it all folds, I'm okay with that. Like I did something that I don't think anybody, you know, you just do it, you just figure it out. But I did something and it's hard work to do all of this and get it where it is by yourself. And that's where, so like when I sit back and I look at it, I just go, yeah, it's a colossal amount of work that went to where I am now. And so I give myself credit for that.
And that's awesome that you deliberately take that time. We'll even say, we love to say in the podcast, that tactical pause to be able to recognize how far you've actually traveled and you're not in the same spot that you started. You know, it's like when people ask like famous entrepreneurs or business leaders, they're like, what happens if everything, and you even hinted at this, if everything goes away today, what would happen? They'd be like, I would be fine, because they have all that experience built up in the bank and all the different failures and successes that they've made along the way. They'll just apply to whatever's next.
That's right. And I think, you know, as much as this is a journey about building a business, it's really a journey about educating myself and becoming more confident. And it's a journey about, you know, it's a self-exploration journey. Like, I mean, people can say what they want to say about it, but like, you know, when you're an Army officer, you are prohibited by US code for having a second job. Like it straight up says you cannot do it. In fact, I had, when at my last duty assignment, we had, you know, an officer get in trouble because he had a second job and, you know, that's was the end of his career, but that's okay. So where I go with that is that I waited until I was retired at 20 years to start anything else. And I had to deinstitutionalize myself from the Army and figure out who I am. And part of this, I mean, looking back at it, I don't think I thought this way at the beginning, but now I look at it as this is a way of me finding Mike again, like building Mike out, building who I am, like all of this back here. Like, yeah, that's what I did. And that's who I was for 20 years. But that's not who I am. Like that person did a great job. And there's some of, I mean, it's always going to be imprinted on me, because, I mean, let's be real, it's never going to go away. I mean, I still have friends of mine who call me and I can jump right back into the world and talk about it. Like, I want to be Mike, the business owner. I want to be Mike, the guy who owns Aerial Resupply. I want to be the guy who sits down and drinks coffee and supports vets and supports entrepreneurs and wants to talk about, you know, anything. Like, I think that's more important to me now than anything else.
I love that you just want to be Mike. That's special because it's very easy, like you said, to get wrapped up in the things that are on your chest, whether they're the awards, rank, whatever. And it really takes hard work, just like a business, to be able to do that reflection and figure out who you actually are at the end of the day.
So the one program that I will recommend to anybody who ever gets out of the military is the Commit Foundation. And so the Commit Foundation, for anybody who's not familiar with it, is an organization that is their sole purpose as a entity to help veterans is to help you find you. It's not even about, like, most everybody else out there, and I could go down the litany of the list, is all out there to, here's your resume, we're going to help you get hired, we're going to help you do job interviews, we're going to help you do this. Not this place. It's all about, who are you? You can't put a price on that. Like, I credit that program to everything that I'm starting now and everything I'm doing now, more so than any other transition help that I ever got from the military.
That's awesome. Because, like, it's one of those things that you never think about. You're like, oh, I need to do these, like, hard things and cross off my list. But it's very, very different when you write down, I need to figure out who I am at the end of the day.
Well, the military is very good at making you do task-oriented things, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you're very good if it's a checklist. But all of a sudden, when it gets into the soft stuff where it's like, hey, what do you want to do? Hey, what are your feelings? How do you feel about this? Where do you want to take this? Like, it's easy for, you know, as both of us as being S3s at one point in our life, well, you're current, me former. Like, we're both very good at taking commander intent and being like, where are we going to go with this? Much harder when you're the commander and you're writing the intent, and then you have to execute your own intent because there's nobody below you to do it. And so that's where we're not good at that. Like, if you can point to me a couple veterans who've all gotten out of the service after 20, 25, 30 years, who 6 months after have all of that figured out, man, then you've met a lot more better people than I have, because I've not met one yet.
And that's the thing too, like, you can't compare your journey, right? Because it's being able to figure out who you are and how far you want to, you go into that journey is really a personal thing, because you've had to look at, you know, failures, successes, and we kind of talked about that on the episode. But as we look at today, right now, Mike Clemmer, how are you better today than yesterday?
Oh, I'm better today because I know who I am. I know what's important to me. And I have a idea of what I want Mike to look like tomorrow. So, like, you know, I make a mistake yesterday. That's great. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to move on, and I'm going to be better today than I was then. And a lot of the things that I probably punted and pushed off because I was like, hey, I'm in the military. I'm going to make major. I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to push for lieutenant colonel. I'm going to, like, all of that. That's all by the wayside. And now it's more about being in the moment, enjoying the journey, being present for what I'm doing today, because it might not be here tomorrow. And I know that's cliche, but it's, I mean, that's the truth. Like, I enjoy what I'm doing.
Where did you not punt literally today so you were able to be in the moment?
Oh, well, so it was, you know, my daughter is very much into piano. And so, you know, it was, you know, I have all this Black Friday stuff that I got to do with the store. I got all this, you know, all these promotional things that I want to do. And, you know, so my daughter, you know, she has piano every Wednesday afternoon. And so I make it a point for me to stop whatever I'm doing. I take her there so that she can do what she wants to do. And it gives me time to just spend time with her. So that's important to me. And, you know, again, this business, it's great. It'll blow up. I'm convinced of that. My daughter's always going to be first. So that's what I got to do.
And you're still able to create harmony.
That's right, man.
As the days go on. I love it. Mike, where can people go to find out more about you and Aerial Resupply Coffee?
Well, I mean, you can go to the website, which is aerialresupplycoffee.com. That's the easiest one. That takes you right to the store. You can go to my about page, find out more about me. You can find me on LinkedIn. I am probably one of the more active veterans on LinkedIn. And I know you, at the beginning, you said I was a celebrity. I don't know if that's true, but I do know that I'm fairly out there. So that's easy to find. I'm on Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual suspects. You know where it is. And then slowly but surely, one day I might try YouTube. We'll see.
And we will make sure it's all linked down in the show notes for this episode. Mike, thank you for sharing your strategies, your methods, your tactics. And most importantly, thanks for having our six.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Sixers. Did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. If you got something out of this, be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant, because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.